Ooh, baby, we got a good one for you, y'all. Hey, it's Connor, one half of your favorite twin duo, Connor and Dylan. Of course, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of our podcast. I'm so excited to share this one with you. Taylor Trench is here, y'all. You love him. You're gonna love him even more after listening to this. Before we get into the chat, I want to tell you about our bonus content platform called Drama Plus, where for $5 a month, you get bonus episodes where Dylan and I talk to each other about all things theater, pop culture, love, life, and you get access to our Instagram close friends. It's so fun. It's so dramatic. It's juicy. It's wild. It's everything you want. And you support us and you support the show. Thank you again for finding us. Enjoy this chat with Taylor. Follow us on all socials. Listen to us everywhere. Leave 5 stars reviews everywhere. Spread the love. All right, y'all. Thank you so much. Time for the show.
Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nominated?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. Connor, I can feel the magic in the air. I'm so excited. I'm on the eve of coming to visit you in New York, and I am literally jumping out of my skin, which is a terrifying thought, but
I can't wait. I know we have such a fun lineup of shows to see, friends to see.
I know.
I can't wait. I mean, we had a crazy spring. There was a lot going on this summer,
right?
But now things are finally popping up that I just cannot wait for. What is your most anticipated show you're going to see next week?
Well, I'm hoping to catch Safety Not Guaranteed, of course. But if I were to talk about anything on Broadway, there's probably two major ones. Oh, Mary, which everyone has already seen it, but I have yet to. And I'm so excited and so ready to take that in.
Wait, our guest today would be incredible as Mary.
Okay.
Oh my God.
I haven't seen it yet, but I understand the essence of what Cole Escola is doing.
Holy shit.
I do feel like there's a similar comedic sensibility.
Every gay man is a casting director, so obviously I just made that happen. Oh my God. Okay. We'll put a pin in that for later. But oh, Mary, okay. You're gonna love.
Oh, Mary, I'm very excited about, and I have to say, we didn't think it was gonna happen. People doubted us. They didn't think we'd be able to get in. Sunset Boulevard. It is happening.
Nicole Scherzinger.
And we've been riding for Scherzy since, I mean, PCD, of course, but we found a VPN at 18 years old to watch her judge X Factor UK, is all I have to say.
She was giving. She's always given us so much.
She really has. And all the promos, everything for Sunset, for lack of a better word, gagged and cannot wait. And of course, friend of the pod, Tom Francis, making his Broadway debut. The dreamy new leading Broadway man. Can't wait to see him as well. So I would say those are my two major ones. What about you?
I can't wait. Sunset for sure on Broadway. Yeah. And I can't wait to see Big A Jamboree.
Yes.
Everybody's going to see it. And I'm responding to their stories like, I'm going next week. And they keep saying it was made for you, which I can't decide if that's a little offensive or fun. I'll take fun.
I would go with fun. Absolutely. People just know you and me by
proxy.
They
know my taste.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun things happening off Broadway. You know, you mentioned Big A Jamboree. I know Drag the Musical is coming, but there is a show that you saw. Was it last Friday?
Yes, Safety Not Guaranteed at BAM. And Dylan, the star, is here today. And we've wanted him on the show since inception. Yeah. I mean, since birth.
Well, because he fulfills the criteria of all of the guests we put on a list when we first launched the podcast. And it was, were they in Spring Awakening, specifically the national tour? And the answer is yes.
The answer is yes. I'm just going to bring him in.
Do it.
Y'all, our guest today is the definition of a star. This versatile performer is currently leading the new off-Broadway musical, Safety Not Guaranteed, at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. He's made a name for himself as an exciting triple threat, having starred on Broadway in Dear Evan Hansen in the titular role, To Kill a Mockingbird as Dill, Camelot as Mordred, Matilda as Michael Wormwood, The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime as Christopher, Wicked as Bach, and of course, Hello Dolly as Barnaby Tucker. He toured the nation as Moritz Stiefel in Spring Awakening, as well as made memorable turns in The 7-Year Disappear opposite Cynthia Nixon, Bear, Rent, Pride Plays, Shucked, and Little Miss Sunshine. On television, you've seen our special guest in Evil, Law & Order SVU, Assisted Living, and more. You've heard his voice on Nickelodeon's Nella the Princess Knight and Netflix's Archibald's next big thing. He's also appeared in the independent features, things like this and Your Monster. He's been in all of your favorite shows, all of my favorite shows, and we simply have to stand. Please welcome to drama, Taylor Trench.
Hi, thank you, Connor. Thank you, Dylan. Triple threat is generous. I don't know if you've seen my moves, but
I had to like think for a second. You danced in Hello Dolly.
I danced a little, and I was Wicked. There was full company dancing and dancing through life. And a friend of mine to this day insisted I did a triple pirouette at some point. And I'm like, I promise you I didn't, because had I done that, I would have gone straight to the press.
But I love that just part of the lore at this point that your friend is convinced.
Exactly. She won't let it go.
Oh my God. Taylor, we're stoked to have you on. As we told you before, we're huge fans. Also, it's 11-11, mm-hmm. Make-A-Wish. Okay. Oh, okay. Anyway, you have a mustache now.
I do.
I was shocked when you stepped on stage in Safety Not Guaranteed, but I love it. It's a real mustache.
Thank you.
It's thick.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I took years to grow.
How many years?
I would say 42.
Yeah, that seems right.
Conservatively.
I mean, you've been playing teenagers, sometimes even children.
Yeah, I played a lot of teens, a lot of kids. And so I felt like this was a good opportunity to look like a tough guy. The experience of this show for me is joyful, but mostly it's flop sweat. It's me sweating for an hour and 40 minutes. And it is a real way to collect all that sweat. So that has been sort of a disappointing aspect of the mustache.
Have you ever had like scruff or like a beard before?
Not really. It's patchy and it's different colors. And so it's not the look.
That's fair.
I get it.
You said flop sweat for an hour and 40. Does that include an intermission?
No intermish. Come on down to BAM, the BAM Harvey Theater. Get in, get
Music
out.
Music to theater goers' ears everywhere.
Precisely. Everyone's obsessed with a 90-minute, no intermission, you know, give or take 10, 15 minutes. You are running all around that theater and you're in like lots of clothing too, like a coverall situation.
That's right. Our show takes place in like a small town outside of Seattle during the winter. So we're all wearing many layers and I'm wearing a fur hat for probably 80% of the show and running at top speeds.
How has it been being in Safety Not Guaranteed, which going into it, I didn't realize was a film before being a musical. Shame on me for not doing research, but it was a very pure experience.
I'm glad. Yeah, it's based on a film from 2012. Produced by Peter Saraf, who also is producing our musical, who also produced the Little Miss Sunshine movie, who also produced the Little Miss Sunshine musical. So this is my second time getting to work with him. It's been such a blast. The cast is a dream come true. And our director, Lee Sunday Evans, is someone who I've admired for so long. If I made a list of my top 10 favorite theater experiences as an audience member in the last like 15 years, I would say 7 of those are things Lee Sunday Evans has directed. So
wow.
It's a real dream to get to be in a rehearsal room with her.
That's so exciting. Yeah, Connor texted me afterwards and he was like, Taylor is singing down. This is incredible.
Oh, thanks.
Without any spoilers.
The music is so nice and it really suits your voice.
Right? Oh, thank you. I know I've always loved Guster and Brian Miller from the band has written all. There's a few nuggets of actual Guster music in there for fans, but he's written all of these amazing original songs for the musical that I think in a way, sometimes when there's authentic pop or rock music, the show can come to a halt and instead you're just like, woo, this song rocks. And it's more of a mood piece. And I feel like Ryan's done a great job of holding on to his sound, his unique, real sound, while also being able to move the plot forward a bit. And I think that's really exciting.
Yeah, for sure. Has the show like frozen yet? Are you guys changing it as we speak?
Today's Friday and we are about to go into our last day of rehearsal and then the show will be frozen.
Oh my God. I saw, I think, the third preview. So I need to come back.
Wow. Yeah, please. I always, speaking of freezing a show, I think it was Alex Wise once said he wished he could have been in the room with the Broadway cast of Frozen on the day the director said, well, guys, we're frozen.
Alex Wise, genuine comedian. Love him and everything that he
literally
does.
Literally, one of the great minds.
Another Spring Awakening alum, I just have to say.
That's true. Oh, revival.
Wow. I mean, the revival, yep. Everyone's family, it doesn't matter what production.
You guys are everywhere.
A family can look like anything.
Exactly. Okay, wait, about Safety Not Guaranteed, can you really quickly just give a quick plot, like a blurb synopsis that will attract the listeners into possibly purchasing a ticket?
Sure. So it's about a girl named Sophie, and she doesn't know who her dad is. And so she invites three dads to Greece.
I was like, wait, this
And it's
sounds
set to the music of
incredible.
ABBA. Yeah.
I'm
Okay,
in.
I'm buying my tickets.
Yeah. I'm seeing a
It's
sequel.
about I had a dream.
Exactly.
It's about a journalist named Darius in Seattle, Washington, who comes across an ad in a classified section of a local paper written by a seemingly a very strange fellow because he's asking for somebody to travel back in time with him. They have to be responsible for bringing their own weapons and they're going to get paid after they return. She decides to respond to the ad, pretending that she's going to go with him as his wingman so that she can write sort of a human interest story. And then they form an unlikely friendship.
It sounds incredible. I can't believe I missed this movie in 2012, which was a pivotal year for Connor and I as we did graduate high school that year. But
Congrats.
oh my God, of
Thank
course. Glee
you.
also.
They graduated on Glee in 2012.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That must have been really special for you both.
It was.
It was. They were literally, it was our story, you know? Like, but yeah, had you seen the movie then when thinking about doing this project?
I'd seen the movie once when it came out, and I haven't returned to it, but I loved it at the time. It's Aubrey Plaza and Mark Duplass and the two sort of central roles, and I love both of those actors. It's really sweet. The musical, I think, is a departure from the movie in a lot of ways. The movie is more of a romance between the two characters, and in our show, it's this really sweet friendship. And Peter Sarraf, who produced it and is producing this musical, he's like, there's no reason to adapt this unless we're going to do something completely new with it. I don't want to just put the movie on stage. Let's improve upon it. Let's make it suited for theater, which was it's such a generous, nice thing to do.
That really is.
Totally.
Wait, my favorite song in the whole show was when your character is telling Darius about, your young love. It's that scene where like that gal who his name is escaping me.
Ashley Perez Flanagan, who's one of my best friends from drama school.
Oh my God.
No way.
Singing down.
Incredible.
Oh my God, her tone.
I
Give me a
know.
break. When she's singing on the booth and it's like spinning around, I loved that song. Oh my God. It
Know.
was so
That's a
good.
Guster song. That's one of the few Guster songs in the show, and it's so good.
Oh, it was great. Yeah. And without spoiling anything, I was really touched by the ending. So I
Yeah.
think people really need to go see it and check it out and see the surprising turns the story takes. For
Yeah,
sure.
it's silly. It's very silly, very sweet, very fun.
You guys were so cute during like the final song and the curtain call, running around. It was cute.
Thanks.
Okay, so you're heading into your last rehearsal before you're frozen. And we always like to meet our guests where they're at. Check in.
Okay.
Taylor, are you well?
Mentally, never. Physically, in so much pain. But emotionally, doing great. Happy to be chatting with the two of you.
I love to hear some of that. I'm sorry to hear that you're in physical pain.
Oh, that's all right. That's just making theater, I guess.
Now there's a portrait of a Victorian child behind you. Who is she?
That is young Jane Lynch. I'm not sure. This to be frank, this isn't my apartment. I'm subletting from Broadway's Britton Ashford from Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet. Speaking of tone, speaking of incredible voices,
Oh,
I'm
yes.
staying in her apartment. Because she's in London making art, and her apartment is near BAM, and you gotta love that.
Oh, that's amazing.
So great.
Without doxing you, where do you normally live? Do you have a place in the city?
I lived in Greenpoint for years and years and years, and then during the pandemic, I gave it up because none of us were making any money. And I drove by myself to LA thinking maybe I was gonna move there and thought I would have like a really transformative Jack Kerouac on the road moment, but it was mostly just billboards of horrible, like telling you that if you get an abortion, you'll rot in hell for eternity. So that was pretty scary. And then I came back to New York for Camelot. And ever since, I've just been subletting, bouncing around the city. And what a treat that I get to be in Britton Ashford's home with her many instruments.
Oh, how
I know, I
fun.
can imagine. Okay, whoa. LA. I didn't realize that you went out there for a little while. Was that a fruitful experience?
My best friend who claims I did a triple pirouette in Wicked. She lives there, so I went there to be closer to her. We made some short films together, and it was really lovely, but I think I'm a New Yorker. I'm a New York kind of gal.
Yeah.
Through and through. I mean, it feels right when you hear. I mean, you're always in a show. You mentioned earlier, like that your top 10 theater experiences. And I wanted to think, well, I don't know how much theater Taylor gets to see, because it's usually when you're already in a show and you don't really have nights off to when shows are running, except for the rare Monday shows that we've been seeing a new trend of. But
that's true.
Yeah.
God bless Chicago. Don't they have a Monday show? I feel like always.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
Do.
And like, Oh Mary has like a 5 p.m. Have you seen that, by the way? I know we were talking about it up front.
I saw Oh Mary at the Lortel, Cole is a pal, and I could taste blood by the end. I was laughing so hard. And you saying that I could play that part is the nicest thing a person has ever said to me. But I just, no one can touch what Cole is doing.
I know, but they're going to have, someone's going to have to at some point, right? Like, I feel like it's you.
I would throw a school bus full of innocent people off of a cliff to play it. Sorry to say.
Sorry to those people.
That's but, okay. Yeah. We'd be thankful for it. You know what else I would love to see you do? And I remember we were talking about this when they announced Cabaret coming to Broadway. You'd be a fantastic MC.
Thanks. That is a dream. Kristen Milioti and I have this dream of alternating in the roles of Sally and the MC.
Ooh. Oh my God, give it to me. I need it.
We're getting a little long in the tooth, maybe.
No, not at all. Taylor, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Tampa, Florida. What about the two of you?
Cleveland, Ohio.
We're Cleveland, Ohio boys.
Oh, but of course.
Music
Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's Cleveland.
That's right. Yeah. When you said you drove from New York to LA, I was like, oh, did you pass through Cincinnati and see the Hell is Real sign? That's like a big famous thing in Ohio.
And no, I don't think I did. It's so important now more than ever. We really got to drive that message home.
Yeah. I know. It pairs nicely with marriage is one man, one woman sign.
And that's what I've always said.
So, you know, talking about Tampa, where you grew up, we'd like to sort of revisit the moment that might have gotten you into the arts in the first place. We call it the Ring of Keys moment. I'm sure you're a fun home kind of gal.
Big time.
Yeah. Do you feel like you had a moment that made you realize that you wanted to be a star, baby?
Oh, I'm no star, but I think movie musicals were my Ring of Keys. Wizard of Oz, I think, like so many of us, but really, 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 it was Oliver. I think watching a bunch of little kids steal from the rich and then go home and do an intricately choreographed routine was huge for me. And this is something that should be psychologically evaluated, but I would rewind that scene where Nancy gets murdered on the bridge over and over again, not because I was deriving any sort of joy from it, but I was like, I want to do that. I want to be like a woman on a bridge screaming for her life. Yeah, that movie was, I loved it so dearly. And so I started doing community theater shortly after watching movies like that and Singing in the Rain and Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, all the goodies.
What about Oliver and Company?
I've certainly seen it, but I can't say that it's indelible on the hippocampus in the same way that Nancy being murdered is.
Nancy saying, as long as he needs me, reprise prior to the death?
I'm almost certain. Okay, I believe that's true. And that's why he kills her. He's like, you already sang it. Enough!
Right. And that's a reprise that is literally the same exact song, just cut in half, done again.
Yeah.
The Lupone version is, of course, beyond. I don't know if you've heard it recently.
I'll have to revisit.
Okay. I usually say reprise, but reprise is fun as well. Good Morning Baltimore reprise or reprise.
Stunning.
Stunning. And talking about like an extension of this bop opening number, but finding Tracy in one of her darkest, most desperate moments. Oh, I could sob right now thinking about it. She never gives up hope.
It's so true. And furthermore, the Mama, I'm a Big Girl Now reprise that Shoshana Bean sings.
Oh, girl.
Attention must be paid.
Wait, are you reprise or reprise?
I think I do reprise for like, if it's the title of a song, and reprise verb form.
Okay.
Oh.
Like she's reprising her role, or I would say that maybe.
Ooh, I like that. I like that a lot. Okay. So then after watching these movies, did you like ask your parents like, hey, I would love to do community theater or something? Or did they kind of notice that you had this interest in?
The lore goes that I was reading a newspaper when I was 5 years old. The likely story. I still can't read.
With the mustache.
Exactly. And saw that there were auditions for a community theater production of The Wizard of Oz in our town. And so I begged them to go. I went. It was at a science museum for some reason, the auditions. So there was like a giant dinosaur skeleton looming above me while I sang, this land is your land, this land is my land. Got the part.
Wow.
Take that. Peed my pants opening night. And it's, I've done it ever since. Every single show since, pee my pants.
What was the part?
So I was in the ensemble as a munchkin. And
respectable.
Thank you. And I was given the most uncomfortable costume out of all of the children. And I didn't complain once. Instead, as it dug into my flesh, I was like, this is art. And so I think my parents were like, okay, I guess this little wackadoo is going to keep doing this.
Oh my God, like Natalie Portman in Black Swan, you understood that you have to die for your art.
Exactly. And just like Natalie Portman and Swan, I wrote whore on the mirror and lipstick before every performance.
I love your pre-show rituals, peeing your pants, writing on the mirror,
The
so fun.
defacing, yeah, defacing public property and myself.
Now we mentioned to you this to you before we started recording, but Connor and I were at this fateful night sitting in onstage seating for Spring Awakening in August of, I want to say it was 2009,
Think you're right.
seeing your first performance as Moritz, and it was a surprise to us because you and from Degrassi, I forget what his name is,
Jake Epstein.
you were going in. I think you were maybe the two they floated in that night as like a little like preview
I
performance
think you're right.
on stage.
I remember this night so well. It was my professional debut. It's, I think, still to this day, my favorite musical. It was the most special, extraordinary night. My gosh, I can't believe you were there. That's wild.
Oh,
I
you were
know. Oh,
so
and Ben
good.
Fankhauser,
Also was
oh,
went on
Ben
for the first
Fankhauser, of
time. Yeah.
course.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Star statements, legends.
You were incredible. I remember having Blake Bashoff's performance in my brain, and you were your own thing. And it was so exciting to see a new take on it. 'Cause I don't think he like ever missed performances. Like, and Connor and I were groupies, like, as I said, guilty ones, and saw it in Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and then Chicago. And so we'd seen Blake plenty. And we had seen him in on Broadway
Oh,
before
yeah.
the tour.
Oh, right. I know. He was so great.
Did you get to like work with him on that, or was it something that you were like given instruction to just run with?
I loved Blake in that show so much. What was really lovely was that Michael Mayer rehearsed with us with the few replacements who were coming in. And Tom Hulce also like came in and gave notes, who is a genius. And they were so lovely about letting us sort of take the reins and build something new, which they didn't have to do because the show was working so well without us. But yeah, that was, I only look back on that time so fondly.
How long were you on the road with it?
I think it was a year-ish. Blake Bashoff did the first like 9 months, 10 months, and then I joined Ben Fankhauser, Kayla Foster, the pirouette enabler.
That
That was Kayla Foster.
was Kayla Foster. Wow. Okay, she's remained anonymous until this point.
That's it, the big leak, page
Oh
six.
my God.
And this amazing actor named John Woyda. We all joined around the same time and did the second year with pretty much everybody else who stayed on for the full run.
Of course, sad to lose Ben Moss, who we all love on this podcast
Devastating,
too.
of course.
Yeah. But you had Steffi D.
We had Steffi Dito Menicantonio, a Canadian idol.
Hell yeah. Oh my God. How old were you when you made your professional debut in Spring Awakening? Because I feel like I remember either knowing or hearing like you left school for it, right?
Yeah, I think I had just finished my second year of college at Elon University. I'd been super lucky. I have first auditioned for the show my senior year of high school. And had been in callbacks for it over that time for the Broadway company and for the tour, and finally got the call. Yeah, like at the end of my second year of college.
Was it a no-brainer to
Wow.
leave?
Oh yeah, I was like, pew, roadrunner out of there. And I think some of my professors were like, please, like really consider this. It's obviously so exciting, but it might be nice to like finish your education here. And I was like, you're not the boss of me. Yeah, it was such a no-brainer. It was, I remember watching the Tony Awards when Spring Awakening won 2007, right? Sobbing as if I had been a part of the making of the show. I was like, we did it, Joe. I just loved it so much, still do. If that were the only thing I ever did as an actor, I would be so thrilled.
That's so special. I mean, you've done so many amazing things beyond that, and that's really sweet to hear, though. When you look back, though, over the last, we'll go with decade. What would
15,
you,
15 years,
yeah, I'm
15.
trying to think, trying to do the math here. What are some other highlights that you're really proud of?
Oh gosh, I've been like supremely lucky to work on things that I genuinely like and with people I adore. I think Spring Awakening and probably the curious incident of the dog in the nighttime will always be tough to beat.
Yeah.
It was so hard, but the most fulfilling thing I've ever done, probably. And it ended with a puppy. Somebody put a golden retriever puppy in your arms at the end of every show.
What more could you want?
That's
We
right.
actually saw you in that
Oh my
too.
gosh.
Yeah,
Oh,
also by surprise because we thought we were going to be seeing Alex Sharp, but
of
then
course.
But
Tremendous.
we were, of course, we were like, oh, but you know, we roll deep with Taylor. We saw him as Moritz. And I'll never forget you yelling the line, Wellington or Wellington. Is that the name of the dog?
The dog.
It's in my brain forever, Taylor.
Oh,
Wait, what was the rat's? Isn't there a rat?
Toby.
Hobie's the rat.
There was a Toby the rat, and one of the so I shared the role with Alex Sharp, Tony winner Alex Sharp, and there was a performance that Julie Andrews came to see where I was on, and Toby the rat must have caught wind of this because he climbed out of his little carrier that I had with me during the show and was running across my body for minutes, refusing to get back inside the cage. And I think he was like, "This is my chance. There's a talent scout in the audience. Julie Andrews is here. She might be able to cast me in Emmett Otter. What is the musical that she wrote
Oh yeah, that's
or
right.
directed?"
Yeah,
Yeah.
right.
He's like, "There might be a part for me."
I forgot it was a real rat.
It was a real rat and so cute.
You're brave.
The skin tail is
I'm,
tough, but
yeah.
they're so sweet. Yeah, I missed that little rat. He sadly passed away, and there was a New York Times article about it.
Oh my God.
What I remember most about one of the rats was that it loved to eat fun size candy bars, like fun size
Same.
Butterfingers. Yeah, truly.
I mean, that show touched a lot of people. It was so cool. I remember feeling like that was the first play I think I'd ever actually seen on Broadway and thinking, oh, this is like not like a dry, boring play. Like, this is very interactive and cool and visually just stunning, too.
I know, so dynamic. Simon Stevens, who adapted it, always said for him it was total theater, where every single department was like working at their highest level and in such conversation with each other. It's and because I got to alternate in the role, it was one of the only shows I've been in where I've also gotten to see what it is from the outside, and that was such a supreme gift because it just loved it so wholeheartedly.
Did you have like a schedule for when you were going on?
Yeah, I was guaranteed 2 shows a week, but it was so physically taxing and vocally taxing. It's like so much yelling that I most of the time I did like 3 a week.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh my goodness. And I can imagine like the people coming up to you afterwards were very touched by, I mean, a lot of the shows I feel like that you've been in, people probably come up to you afterwards, but that one in particular spoke to people who I don't think are represented very often.
Totally. I had so many parents or siblings afterwards who would tell me, "I've never been able to understand what it's like for my sibling or for my child who is on the autism spectrum, and this is the first time I feel like even a little bit I've been able to feel what it's like for this person, what it's like to walk through the world every day." And that was so incredible, so meaningful.
Yeah, oh, I'll bet.
I'm sure people also did that at Dear Evan Hansen.
Yeah, a lot of people who really felt represented by that story, and what a privilege to get to have been a part of that.
Yeah.
What was playing Evan like for you?
Ooh, girl. It was so hard. I'm not a good singer, and it's so much singing, and it's so high, and it was like perfectly developed for Ben Platt, who's this extraordinary vocalist. That is his gift, is music. I found it so hard, and it was a year of me feeling like I would come on stage and be like, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." So that part was hard.
Taylor, no. You're such a good singer.
That's very nice. But those people that I was on stage with, I love so deeply. And the music is extraordinary. Stephen Levinson's book is so good. There were certainly moments where I was like feeling so nourished as an artist in a way that I think we rarely get to experience. It was like such a tremendous feat of a part, but it was tough on the old gal.
Yeah.
But I'm eternally grateful that anyone let me do it. It was so nice of them to let me be in that show.
Had they adjusted the schedule yet for Evan at that point, or was it still all eight?
Yeah, I think during Ben Platt's run, they bumped it down to one actor doing six and one actor doing two. I think that's the only way to get through
Yeah.
that
Yeah.
ask.
You were still in it when it was like the hottest show at the time. Everyone was flocking to see it, and it's such a small theater that tickets were scarce.
You know, it's so nice to be in something that people love and want to see, and that I got to do it with so many members of the original company also was such a gift.
Oh, bad.
Was Dear Evan Hansen before Hello Dolly?
Dear Evan Hansen was like directly after Hello Dolly. I finished a performance of Hello Dolly and then it went right into Dear Evan Hansen.
Oh
Yes,
my
because you guys
God.
were at the same Tony Awards. That's right, yeah. Which that
Oh.
was also fun to get to jump from something so broad and farcical and silly into something that was so human and subtle and Delicate was also, that's like an actor's dream.
Yeah. God, that Hello Dolly. I mean, I'm sure you hear this all the time, but that was sensational.
I know.
You and Gavin together. Oh, it was so cute.
I couldn't love him more. One of my favorite people on planet Earth. Yeah, that was just a year of joy, of pure, pure, pure joy.
Were you like a fan of Gavin growing up? I mean, we're like around the same age. So I was obviously obsessed with him growing up.
I've loved Gavin since 1999. The Fame national tour when he's saying, I want to make magic. I was like, who the heck is that? Bleach blonde hair, such a hottie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've been the biggest fan. And then to get to work with him and become, he's truly one of my best friends. They say, don't meet your heroes, but Gavin really proves that adage wrong. He's the nicest, silliest, most generous. He means the world to me.
Oh, I love to hear that. I mean, the two of you on stage were such a dynamic duo.
Thank you.
When I think about that show, I think that was Broadway. Like, it was just firing on all cylinders. What was it like working with Bette Midler?
Get out of here. So cool. I love her.
Did you talk about Hocus Pocus?
Of course.
Yeah.
And she loves it. She loves to talk about it.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, about Hocus Pocus, beaches. So, I mean, her entire filmography are things that I worship. She was so amazing. She would wear Skechers shape ups and like a velour tracksuit to rehearsals, which I loved. Icon behavior.
Now you do that.
Absolutely.
She made you feel so normal so quickly. I think we were all so worried the first day that we would all just be bumbling fools around her all of the time. But she really can put you at ease in a really lovely way. Yeah, what a treat. Her and David Hyde Pierce, two of the best leaders of a company a person could ask for.
Oh, I mean, yeah, when you think of like the divas, you know, she's, of
yeah.
course, her and Bernadette. Connor and I were talking about like who our favorite diva performances are in Broadway. Do you feel like you have a favorite diva that you would just like drop anything to see or have loved seeing?
Oh, that's a really good question. Who's my, well, Bernadette Peters is certainly up there. Lilias White also is huge for me.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen her in Hadestown?
Yes.
Oh my God, she was phenomenal.
So good. I hadn't seen it at all somehow. I'd missed years and years. I hadn't seen Hadestown. And then when Ava Noblezada was leaving, I was like, oh, I should really get in there.
Yeah.
So I saw one of her last shows and Lilias was up there and I was on my feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, those two.
Lilias is going back to Hadestown and Bernadette's going to be on Broadway this year in Sondheim's Old
That's
Friends.
Right.
So
I can't wait.
We're blessed. We're doubly blessed for sure.
Are you excited for Scherzinger in Sunset?
I am. I don't know the musical very well, I have to admit, but seeing pictures of her in like a silky gown covered in blood, I'm gay. So see you there.
Right.
Taylor, when did you come out?
I came out in high school. I had a secret boyfriend my junior year of high school, like the summer between junior year and senior year. And I was a like straight A student, perfect attendance, really goody-goody, captain of the competitive math team. I was a big-time nerd. And then I met this boy. And then senior year, I just skipped school for months. And I would drive to go be with him. And then one day, the principal called our house and was like, hi, just making sure Taylor's not coming to school this year. Got in some trouble. And then...
Oh, my God.
Came out.
Was he, like, older?
No, he was my age. We would both just skip school together. And then I was sort of forced to come out to explain why I hadn't been attending physics at 8 a.m.
Oh, my God. How did you meet this guy?
We met at a Fosse summer camp. That at the time was called Broadway Theater Project. And now all the people that I took class from have started a new program called the Performing Arts Project.
Okay.
I think I've heard of that, actually.
Yeah, it's a great. Jonathan Bernstein is the kind of the brains behind it, and he's really brilliant.
Wow.
How did your family react? Were they like more shook about you being gay or more shook about you skipping school?
I think the school thing was was way more of a blow. They were so lovely. I think they all knew, as so many of our parents did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, I know so many people who have such tough, really traumatic coming out experiences, and my family and friends were all very supportive and loving.
Oh, I'm so glad. Are they all still down in Florida?
Everyone's in Florida. My sister, my mom, my dad, they all live within like minutes of each other.
Have they been able to come and see you on Broadway ever?
Yes, they come a lot, which is really nice because I because I've been so supremely lucky with theater, I don't get to go home that often. And so it's very nice of them to make the trip here. I really appreciate it.
Is there like a role or something they always talk about as like their favorite?
My dad loves Spring Awakening a lot because he plays in a rock band.
Oh, cool.
He also, my dad is a, he'll cry after anything, even like the
Aww.
silliest thing. As soon as I see him afterwards, he breaks down into tears, which is the sweetest.
Oh, that's so cute. That's special. It seems like you come from good people.
Yes, yeah, I have really lovely, supportive, funny, patient parents.
Okay, so you also did Camelot with, I mean, Andrew Burnham, Jordan Donica, Philippa Soo. Like, what a gag. How was
I
doing
know.
that Aaron Sorkin rebooted Camelot?
So fun. It was my second time getting to work with him because I did To Kill a Mockingbird, and
Right.
it was so nice to be reunited and with Bart Scheer and at Lincoln Center. What a dream. The first Broadway show I ever saw was Light in the Piazza in the Beaumont. So,
Oh, with Kelly O'Hara or with Katie Rose Clark?
with Kelly O'Hara. Love
Okay.
Katie Rose Clark, but it was
Oh,
with
yeah.
Kelly O'Hara. So that was felt supremely cool. It was so fun. I didn't know that musical at all before doing it. And I'm so glad that the version I know now is the version we did. I love that it put the emphasis on people organizing, coming together to make change instead of wizards. That was very cool. And yeah, all those people, Pippa, Andrew, so many of those people I just will be friends with for life.
I love it. I loved seeing you play this like little naughty villainous role. It was a treat for sure. And also you worked with, is it Dakin or Dakin Matthews? How do you say
Bacon. Oh.
Dakin? He's my favorite diva performance now that I'm thinking about it and everything he
Literally,
does.
literally, especially in that show, that long wig he came out on in at the beginning of the show. Yeah, Dakin is just one of the most extraordinary actors we've got. And a Shakespeare scholar has done like several adaptations of Shakespeare. He's, I mean, and he used to teach us in between shows. He would lead little Shakespeare master classes. God, I know, I love him, and I think he's so supremely gifted.
Wait,
Oh yeah.
speaking of wigs, you had a wig in that show.
You bet your buns.
What's your favorite wig you've worn on stage?
Hello Dolly wig is pretty major.
That was a major wig.
It started out as almost a bob. It was long. And I looked like Renée Zellweger in Chicago. And during tech, I guess, Jerry Zaks, our director, could see how much I was loving the wig, and it was starting to sort of take focus from everybody else on stage because of how much I was using the wig. I was really getting the like Pantene Pro V bounce to come out center stage. And then he was like, let's cut that wig. They gave it a trim, and that wig is gorgeous. I love that wig. I wore two wigs in Matilda that were haunting, but I loved them. One looked like Little Orphan Annie.
Haunting wigs.
Truly haunting. I don't have the bone structure for a red perm. But yeah, that Barnaby wig, I wish I had it. I would wear it every day in real life.
Oh, even you describing the experience, you like wrapped your arms around yourself and tilted your head. I could see like the sense of memory coming out of you.
Yeah, not to use a phrase that will no one will remember in a few months, but it was very
Oh,
demure.
thank you. That's
Yeah,
right.
we all kind of moved past the demure thing quickly, didn't we?
I know. Well, sociologists will come back to this episode and
It'll
be thrilled to rediscover.
be playing in the museum in Washington, D.C. one day.
I love the museum. I want to have our podcast
Yeah.
there, my God, live episode.
Oh, at the new
Oh,
yeah.
that'd be so good.
Next
Okay,
goal.
wait, I have to ask you. You did the 7-year disappear with Cynthia Nixon. Are you a Sex in the City guy?
I've seen every frame of that show. It's foundational for me. And I've loved her my whole life because she's been acting since she was a child. Yeah, I mean, I just got an email one day that said, would you like to be in a two-person play with Cynthia Nixon? And I was like, this is someone's pranking me, or I've been hacked or something. It was the best. I love her. And I love Jordan Seavey, that playwright, so much. It was so cool. And then I found out later that the only reason I got that offer was because of Cynthia. She read the play and just goes to see so much theater that she has like a database of actors in her head and thought of me. I mean, if little me could see that one day Cynthia Nixon would suggest me for a part in a play, I would be doing aerials like Audra McDonald at 110 in the Shade.
Wait, that's so crazy. Did you take any lessons from working with Cynthia?
Yes, life lessons, acting lessons, so much. I admire her tremendously. And also just, I volunteered on her campaign for governor also.
Yes.
And just the conversations we would have about human rights and how to be a better global citizen were like really deeply meaningful and things I'll cherish forever. Yeah, gosh, I feel like I grew so much during that process because it was just me constantly trying to justify me being on stage with one of our greatest actors.
Oh, yeah. Now, I often say the subways would be fixed right now if she would have been elected governor. You know,
Period.
that
But we
was her.
also wouldn't have Miss Ada Brooks,
That's true.
so.
That's true. That's
True.
true. I'm hopeful now that she'll think of you for something and then just like that.
Or Gilded Age.
I mean, that would be very cool, but I think she's already been so overly generous to me. I would go and like clean her house for the rest of my days to thank her.
You know that you said Hello Dolly, which is a famous farce. I do believe in just like that to be a farce as well, but that's okay. It's all fun. It's all fun.
Sex in the City is a fantasy. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. They all are so comedically gifted. When you go back and watch it, I mean, it's like Kristen Davis sometimes is doing true like commedia dell'arte. She's so funny.
100%. She gets to be the funny one, especially in Just Like That. She's
I know.
beyond. I love
She's so
her.
good, so charming. Me too.
You know, we've listed all these different shows you've been in. What's something you would love to do next? If you could choose a project, what's like getting
What's
you
your
excited?
dream?
Your dream.
Oh gosh, I have so many. I would love to do Angels in America, like every gay person
Prior.
as prior. Two of my best pals in the world, Adam Chandler Barratt and Kyle Beltran, we have a dream of doing it together.
Kayla Foster doing pirouettes.
Exactly. Ben Fankhauser, Kimiko Glenn. Gosh, it's more, I think more the older I get, the more it's about like people I'd like to collaborate with. So people like Annie Baker and Anne Washburn, Dustin Wills, my friend Jocelyn Bio, I think is such a brilliant writer.
Oh, yeah.
I have a friend named Kimberly Bellflower, who was one of my early roommates in New York, who's an extraordinary playwright who wrote a play called John Proctor is the Villain. It would be like so fun to do something with her. Yeah, I think now I would just like to work with people I love. And I think also these weary bones, the theater schedule is so hard, it's no joke. And it would be nice to like sit on set for one day and
Yeah.
have somebody like give me a snack. That would be a nice departure. But I'll always, theater is the thing I love most in the world, and I'll always, always, always be clamoring to do it.
Oh.
Well, we're better for it with your performances, Taylor. You're
That's
seriously one of my favorites of all time, and you keep delivering. Before we say
you.
goodbye today, because I know you have a rehearsal to get off to, we do end on a dose of drama. It's a little suggestion of something you might be consuming in the world, something you've been thinking about, maybe something you thought about during this podcast, something to leave the listeners with. I'm going to start,
Yeah.
you know, as much as I try to unshackle myself from the Ryan Murphy verse, I did binge all of Monsters, the Lyle and Eric Hernandez story. Have either of you watched it?
No, but
I haven't, no.
I think I liked
Okay.
one tweet about how one of the actors was hot, and now my entire algorithm is just shoving them.
Like shirtless pics,
Yeah,
yeah.
their names are Cooper and what's the other one, Dylan? The
Nicholas,
actor,
Nicholas,
they
yeah.
are both so hot.
They are,
I'm
yeah.
obsessed.
What I
But
have to say
anyway.
is I think when we get like a, we'll call it a historical fiction retelling, you know, of something. We have to just take it as like some of it is truth, some of it might not be the full thing. And it is exposing this story that I think captivated the nation. I wouldn't call it a crime of the century when it happened, but it was certainly a big deal. It was right before the OJ trial in our American history. And I have to say, I really thought the show was powerful and moving. And those actors that Connor mentioned who are gorgeous, Cooper in particular, there's one episode, episode 5. It's an entire one shot. So I literally felt like I was watching a play where his character is sitting in this prison talking to his lawyer, explaining stuff from his life. And the camera just slowly zooms in on him throughout the entire scene. And it is, I would be shocked if they did do any cuts or anything and it was then pieced together because it was that brilliantly done. And I think he is a New York actor, Cooper Koch or Koch,
Coke?
Koch. Because
Go Cooper.
yeah, I don't know. He was
Oh,
amazing. I wouldn't be surprised next year. Some Emmys buzz came around for him. So I do
wow. Is
recommend
he
it.
related to Ed Koch, I wonder?
Maybe. I don't know.
He a secret billionaire?
He
He
might be.
must be.
That's so cool. I think I was thinking also how excited I am to see Michaela Diamond in the Ryan Murphy universe.
Yes, me too.
Which I did start that last night. So like I, you know, I'm shackled to it. She is incredible, born for the screen. I mean, like
Totally.
obviously like talent for days, voice for years, but on screen, she's incredible. And she, it's sort of like her and Niecy Nash in this Cagney and Lacey, like sort of crime solving. I mean, it is a very dark tone show, but it's interesting so far. I like it.
Oh, I'm so excited for her.
And one of the hotties from the Menendez brothers is also in it. And
of course, of course.
Huge.
Yeah.
It's so important to put hot people on TV.
I know.
At last, give them the chance.
I do have a dose of drama. Okay, I'm feeling dramatic. This is like a life thing, not necessarily a recommendation. When you invite somebody to something, it's just common courtesy to respond. Yes, no, whatever. Have people forgotten about politeness and human decency? If someone thinks of you for something, if Cynthia Nixon thinks of you for a play, you got to respond to the email. I just feel like I'm getting annoyed lately with like telling people, hey, come to this, or hey, we're going to this, and no response. It's like, come on, least you can do is just respond. So real drama. I'm not thinking of like a specific instance, but let's just be more polite to each other, y'all.
Love that.
Anyway, Taylor, do you have a dose of drama to send us home with on this fine day?
I think mine's going to be, because I already invoked her, mine is going to be watching Kristen Milioti in The Penguin on Max. She plays Colin Farrell's counterpart, like sort of arch nemesis. She is so extraordinary, always one of the most consistently brilliant actors in New York, but always so surprising. And in this, she's so truly scary. And I told her so often when we're watching our friends and something, I'm sure you have this experience too, there's always a little part of your brain that's like, tee hee, that's my friend.
Yes.
In a costume. With her, I'm always able to so totally like dive into whatever world the show is building. Yeah, her performance in this show is staggering. Talk about Emmy's buzz. Give this lady an award. She deserves tons. And in this, she's just so scary. So good.
I can't wait to watch. It feels like the right spooky season viewing.
Yeah.
Love Colin Farrell as well. But she had the impossible task with How I Met Your Mother, and she slayed.
Completely. Once, over your shoulder.
Literally.
Hello.
I listened to The Hill from Once all the time.
Of course. Stunning.
She has an incredible episode of Modern Love, and she also has an incredible episode of Black Mirror that is just beyond.
Oh my God. Hit after hit.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. There's another one coming, a Black Mirror of the same premise.
I knew that it was getting like a sequel type thing.
Okay. Yeah. I said maybe it's already been announced.
The USS Callister or McAllister or whatever.
But there's another one coming. She already filmed it in London.
Oh
my God. Wasn't Jesse Plemons in the OG one as well?
He was.
Okay, yeah. Connor, I know you're not a Black Mirror person, but gotta get into it. Well, Taylor, we're into everything Kristen Milioti does, but we're even more into everything that you do. You are so incredible and beyond. You were so funny and kind. And I'm really, really grateful that you gave us a little bit of time today during your busy schedule, which is, let's be real, always busy, but thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. It was such a treat to talk to you both.
Oh, yay.
Reunited after 2009.
Yes. I know. Literally.
Meet your heroes. Meet your heroes.
I wonder if we have a picture at the stage door in Chicago.
I hope not, because that haircut was tragic.
We sent, when Ben did our show, like, I mean, at this point, 4.5 years ago, I remember we pulled out a stage door pick with him, and it's like absolutely priceless, but
pre-Accutane is all I'll say.
Oh my God. Hilarious. Yeah. But no, Taylor, you're the best. You're just as lovely as you are talented. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Oh my God. Thank you. Thank you. Have a great day.
Do you want people to follow you on Instagram at Knuckle Sandwich?
Sure. I mean, I'm not posting anything interesting, but you're more than welcome to.
Amazing. While everyone's following Taylor, they've got to follow us. We're at The Drama Podcast. Connor's at Connor McDowell. I'm at Dylan McDowell. And thank you again, everyone. Listen to us on iHeartRadio, Broadway. And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.